You can open your Bibles or your Bible apps to 1 John 4, verses 7 through 13. And this morning's message is from the epistle reading, as you just heard, which focused on the reality that God is love. It's worth noting that this text in John's epistle is only rivaled by the most well-known text in the Bible, 1 Corinthians 13, written by the Apostle Paul. If you take up the challenge to read John's whole letter this week, you will find that the difference between light and darkness, God and the devil, truth and error, is nothing other than love. And so this morning, we want to answer the question, as John did, what is love? He tells us, of course, the very first thing is that God is love. But before we expound on this reality, it's worth noting that our collapsing Western society has not understood what love is and has effectively turned the doctrine on its head. Some of you might know the debut album from 1993 by the European artist Hathaway. Okay, anybody know where I'm going yet? It was released with the title for the single, What is Love? And the answer to the question was clearly stated by Hathaway in the song, Baby, don't hurt me. Don't hurt me anymore. So some of you might even be tempted to bob your head to the side in honor the time-honored tradition of the Roxbury guys, Will Ferrell and Chris Kattan, but it's okay if you don't. Unfortunately, since the song's release, Western society has only taken this answer, don't hurt me, more and more to heart in what I would say is a bad way. You can hear it well in our day. If you don't conform to my definition of love, that even your very presence of non-affirming what I'm telling you is hurtful to me. In this dystopian cultural landscape, if we don't affirm someone's individual self-love and self-identity, then everyone around us is telling us that we don't love them, rather we hate them. For example, if you don't use their pronouns, you are just a bigot who wants to hurt people. If you don't want the government to pay for gender-affirming health care that mutilates, drugs, and sterilizes the individual, then all you must be interested in is promoting suicide, because we don't want them to live happy and fulfilled lives based upon what they think is true about themselves in their own mind. The examples can go on. But in general, we might expand the song's answer in our culture today to what is love as baby, don't hurt me and my imaginary self. Because if you don't affirm my definition of love, I will make sure everyone hates you. Now, faithful, loving Christians know that these claims are baseless and farcical. But these examples should make it clear that our culture has embraced the answer to Hathaway's question. Love is defined by the individual person, and anything we do that contradicts them is hateful or unloving to them. This is what might be called a heresy of love. Rather than uniting us together, it divides us right down to the very individual and whatever delusion of the mind that is plaguing them at the moment. This heresy of love isn't patient or kind. It's rather prideful and always insisting on its own way. It's irritable, arrogant, and always rejoices in wrongdoing. It revels in fabrications of truth based upon the fiction of the mind. And if you don't accept any of this, what we would say is folly, well, their love ends for you quickly. They believe the worst about you, and they hope for your bigoted death. But praise be to God, we do not have to embrace this definition of love, and we have been given a better way. So, as I said at the beginning, if you have this passage in mind, Don't forget 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through 8, which you might have heard me rewording. But what did Paul say? Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. And how can this be? How can it be that love never ends? Well, the answer is in John's epistle. What did he say again? What is love? God is love. This is what some have called the cash value of the Trinitarian doctrine. In our modern church culture here in America, the doctrine of the Trinity has generally been downplayed or even dismissed as unhelpful. God's triunity has been largely forgotten, or more likely, simply gone unrealized by too many Christians. And this has been to the detriment of the church at large. So you see, if we do not understand the value of Orthodox Trinitarian theology that rightly teaches us who God is and how he exists, then we will be unable to resist the aforementioned heretical teachings on the doctrine of love in our society today. As I described earlier, when you are left with love being based in the individual person, you find that love is essentially divisive, self-serving. It's a feature that can never be fully satisfied and changes at the whims of a person's daily urges. But this is not so with God. As Christians, the love question's answer, God is love, is the most valuable description in all of Scripture. This answer presupposes that God is triune, and it is fulfilled for us in the story of redemption planned out by the Father, accomplished through the Son, and applied by the Spirit. In his commentary on John's epistle, listen to what Peter Lightheart has to say. To say that God is love assumes that God is triune. God can be love only because he is plural, only because he is three, Father, Son, and Spirit. As theologians from Augustine all the way up to Karl Barth and beyond have said, to be genuine love, love requires an object, a beloved, an other. Love is love only if it is directed out, only if it seeks the good of another. Self-love is not fully love. A lonely single person cannot be love. Allah and any other god cannot be love. These gods, these idols, cannot be love, and they cannot express love for us. For their love for us cannot express the deepest inner being of themselves. And in contrast, bear with me in this longer quote, Lightheart goes on to say, which I think is extremely helpful if you haven't heard this, the true God, the living God, the God revealed in Jesus and in the Scriptures, is love. The true God lives in an eternal communion of perfect love and joy and peace, the Father loving the Son through the Spirit, and the Son returning the love to the Father in the same Spirit. His love for us is the expression of his deepest character. God is not playing a role when he acts as our Father. God is not adopting a pose or pretending. When God displays love, he displays himself. God loves others, creatures like us, because he has eternally loved a son in the Spirit. The Son loves us as brothers because he has eternally loved his Father in the Spirit. The Spirit loves us because he has eternally been the bond of love between Father and Son. Loving another was not a new experience when God created the world. It's an extension of the love that Father, Son, and Spirit have always had for one another, end quote. I hope that's encouraging. This is the most based and fulfilling understanding of love that any of us could have ever hoped to understand. And how does John's epistle tell us that we come to know that love? Because God made it manifest and he applied it to us. Listen again to what John writes after that initial verse, verse 9 and following. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. And because of this atoning work that God the Father has accomplished on our behalf through the Son, what has he done with it? He has applied it to us through the Holy Spirit. Here again, 1 John 4:11 through 13. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us his Spirit. So, dear Christian, I offer to you the assurance this morning that if you love God and love one another as God has loved us through his Son, then you will never fall away from the truth. You will find true happiness and peace, and on the last day, you will not stand in fear, as John's epistle said, but in confidence, because God's love has been perfected in you. And for us as a mission church here in Chattanooga, I offer this exhortation for the TRC families. Let us be known by our love for one another, just as John's epistle says, that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Let the world know that we have found salvation in our lives and that our bond of unity through love is based surely and ultimately on God's own Trinitarian love. You see, there is another important feature to Christian love, as John said. What did he say a moment ago? No one has ever seen God. And God's love was made manifest through his Son coming into the world. Well, guess what? Today, that applies to us. Because who are we? We are the body of Christ in the world. When Jesus said in John 15:8 that all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another, he didn't simply mean that they would have some head knowledge about who Jesus' followers are. Rather, he was saying that throughout the generations, from henceforth until he returns, people will come to know and see God, whom they have not seen, because we as Christians love one another and are united to one another through God who abides in us. So you see, if the church does not function rightly through love, then no one can see God who is invisible. If the church does not love one another, then people will not know that they can come to the church, to God's people, to find forgiveness and healing from their broken, sad, and difficult lives. As the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13, if I do all these, remember the list, I'm not going to read it to you. If I do all these cool Christian things, but what? But have not love, I'm nothing. I gain nothing. So in agreement with John's epistle, if we do not have love, it's all pointless and we're all liars. So let us be a church that fulfills John's command. Whoever loves God must also love his brother. And if we succeed in this, nothing can stop us. Not the world, not the devil, not even death. What does it say? If God is for us, who can be against us? In the same way, if we abide in God and God abides in us, we will win. So I hope you are encouraged this morning and that you will glorify God in loving one another this day. So pray with me. Heavenly Father, you have loved us with an everlasting love, an eternal love, the love that you have always had with the Son and the Spirit. Abide in us this day and forevermore, that we may love one another, and through this love, the world might be saved. Help us to be patient and kind. Help us not to envy or boast. Take away our arrogance and resentfulness so that we will not insist on our own ways. Let us rejoice in this truth today, that God is love and that God's love never fails to accomplish what it sets out to do. We praise you for your love, and this we ask in your Son's name, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns forever, world without end. Amen.
Amen. Amen.